Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. No Brian today. AJ is in for him. H, as I like to call him. Joe, you well?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
See me cough?
Good. No.
Oh, okay.
I
just coughed before the start of the show. But no, I'm good.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, I lost my voice last week, so it's mostly back now. Friday was tough without you.
Why'd you?
I had Sean, but
well,
I was struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling through that show on Friday, but I'm good. How are you?
Are you saying I'm the Baker Mayfield of the show?
Just keep us rolling?
Yeah, it's MVP hunt. It doesn't matter who's around. I can continue to win.
MVP Branham.
MVP. Baker Branham. it's good to be back. I missed you as well, even though you didn't say that. I know it. I feel it.
Yeah, of course I missed you.
Lots to get to today. What's that?
Of course I missed you.
Yeah, I thought so. Lots to get to today, though. We'll get to some NFL stuff a little bit later. You never know what you're going to get with Jeremy and Joe. You never know what they're going to lead with. They're predictable. We know what they're going to do. No, you never know. We're going to do NFL stuff later. We might not talk Houston Texans today. We'll see. We'll see how far some of this other stuff gets us. We'll do that. Biggest falls from graces in sports history. I think that you know why there, because Penn State fired James Franklin. We'll get to that a little bit later, too. I'm sure we'll touch on that throughout the show. But how about this weekend in college football? I mean, you had banger after banger after banger, great game, great game, great game, and then you had Black Sunday. Like, is it just me, or is it really weird that October 12th is the new date to fire everybody in college football?
Yeah, I mean, we had, what, three this weekend? I think it is. James Franklin, Trent Dilfer, and then the Oregon State head coach.
Oregon State.
Those are the three,
yes. You
know, three coaches that got fired this weekend. I think we have it's six or seven now Power Four conference job openings already. It's crazy. I mean, there was only two jobs in the Power Four open last year, and it is a very different situation this year. I think it's because this is all portal related in a way, right?
I don't know. Like, I don't really. I think I don't get it. Like, I really don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to fire a coach in season. I mean, Callahan got it today with the Titans. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me to fire coaches midseason unless you can detect extreme incompetence and you think the interim will be better. In a lot of cases, that doesn't happen. A lot of cases, that's not the case. So I don't know what's happening. I think in college football, a lot of it's to get the boosters off your back. Like, oh, we're gonna take away our $1 million we have pledged to you in the NIL. Okay, well, we'll fire Franklin. Okay, you get my $1 million. So I think college is a little bit of a different animal than pro ball, because I think that you're trying to please the boosters in college football. Hey, Penn State, their alumni base and all of their NIL people, they're saying they don't want Franklin. Or, you know, okay, well, see you, Franklin. See ya. Goodbye. Like Pittman, you know, Arkansas is not spending any money in football. We're going to get rid of Pittman. Maybe this will fire up the alumni base. So I think it's a lot financially driven, especially NIL driven. Mm-hmm. Maybe the portal comes into play there. Whereas NFL, I don't know, man. It's weird. The openings as of right now, and who knows, maybe somebody else is going to get sacked in the next couple of minutes. Be like Adam Schefter earlier today. Schefter said that no one's about to get fired in the NFL. And then like 15 minutes later, Brian Callahan got sacked.
To be fair,
football openings.
He did say at the very end of the clip that Pat McAfee show posted.
That's soft. He said,
I might get a text here and someone might get fired.
Yeah, but that's soft. That's it. That's a way of like softening his stance.
Yeah,
like he's on record saying, I don't think anybody's going to get fired, but you never know.
Then,
like that's just softening your take.
Within, I think, 15 minutes. Callahan got fired.
Hilarious. It was our first bad take nominee of the week. Thank you, Adam Schefter. But college football openings already. I think you might have missed a couple. Arkansas, Oklahoma State, which go Cougs, Oregon State, Penn State, Stanford, which was always open, Frank Reich there on an interim basis, Virginia Tech, UAB, not a Power 5 or Power 4, but UAB, and UCLA. There's already eight openings in college football. Seven of them in the P4. It's October 13th.
Six.
What?
I don't think is Oregon State P4?
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Sorry. I just want to make sure we clarify.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I confused the Pac-12. I confused the Pac-2 is still Power 4 football.
Still a relevant
you're right.
Conference.
My bad.
No, but it's crazy to think that like these coaches are and I mean, who knows how big this is going to get because the domino effects. I'm already having this many jobs open. Who knows how big this is going to get this year? Because it's just going to lead, you know, someone has to take the Penn State job, which likely means there's going to be a good job available. And the trickle-down is going to roll and roll and roll and roll. It's going to be a crazy just rest of the year, it feels like, because it also feels like this is like the tip here, like the tip of the iceberg a little bit with James Franklin. Like if Penn State is firing James Franklin, what are other boosters, what are other, you know, collectives saying about their coach and their program?
Yeah.
And saying, well, if Penn State can do this where – if you look at his record, he's a very winning head coach, but you can't win the big games. Why are we allowing someone like Brian Kelly to mismanage LSU? Why are we allowing, you know, these coaches to be somewhere in the middle if Penn State is doing this? Like, how much more can this grow? It feels like quite a bit, to be honest with you.
The problem is, are you sure you're going to get a better coach? Like, you can, like, oh, well, this guy's not taking us to the promised land. What do you want? Like, do you want the better coach or the worst coach? Like, we lose that in the shuffle a lot, I think. Like, oh, we're chasing this national title. We're chasing the number one, you know, spot in all of college football. This guy hasn't done it yet, so we don't think he's ever going to do it. But a lot of times that guy's better than his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like we lose that, not us specifically, but, like, the people that hire or the people that fire. Like, oh, we're going to do better. That's not always the case. Look at the Titans, for example. They got rid of Vrabel because they thought they could do better, and then they hired Callahan, who's got less than a 20% win percentage in his career, and is fired 6 games into a second season. Like, it's not always greener on the other side.
No, I think
that Penn State could be in that situation.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, there's some candidates that could be better, right? Like, there can be guys that are better. But if you should look like the top 5 odds guys to be the next head coach of Penn State, Franklin's better than like 3 of them, 4 of them maybe even. He was in the national semifinals last year. He was the number 3 team in the country 3 weeks ago. Like, I'm not a James Franklin guy. I've never been a Franklin guy. Franklin got mad at a question I asked and stormed off the interview, like all of that stuff. But are you guaranteed that, like, Matt Rhule is a guy like that, and I think Matt Rhule is very, very good. Are we sure that Matt Rhule is better than James Franklin?
No, we're not sure. And Matt Rhule, it's a great name to bring up because what you're talking about here, think about Nebraska. In 2014, they go 9-3 with Bo Pelini. They fire Bo Pelini. They've had one 9-win season since. 2 years later, Mike Riley went 9-4. They have not had above 7 wins since 2016. So one 9-plus win season. When Bo Pelini, all he did was win 9 games. He never lost more than never won less than 9 games in a season as the head coach of Nebraska. They haven't been the same since they moved on from Bo Pelini. So your point's very valid that are you going to find someone better? No. Now, I think firing James Franklin was the right decision. Sean and I were discussing this on Friday when you weren't here, and I put him squarely on the hot seat. I didn't think they were going to lose to Northwestern, but they did. So I'm not surprised that he got fired. But you're right. Like, how do you know it's going to be better? And I think of all the jobs,
how do you think this is the right thing? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't really get that logic. I know that he's like the first guy in college football to lose 3 consecutive games or 2 consecutive games, whatever it was, as a 20-point favorite. But why? Like, why do you think it's the right move?
I think the athletic director made a good point where he basically said, James Franklin raised the bar, but he couldn't reach it. I mean, James Franklin is 0-15 versus top 5 teams. He's 4-21 versus top 10 teams. He's 3-17 versus Michigan and Ohio State. And he's the first coach to lose consecutive games where he was a 20-point favorite in both games. Like, he can't win the big game. So, like, while I'm with you that can you do better than James Franklin, I don't know for where Penn State is, but he can't win the big game. And I know he went to the Final Four, but see, he went to the college. My point on Friday was that how are we going to treat the college football playoff? Because, yes, he won 2 games in the college football playoff. He beat SMU and Boise State.
Those are big games.
I know.
Big games.
But compared to where they were the year before, those games didn't exist. They weren't a thing. He's not a college football playoff coach ever until you expand.
See, I take exception to the he can't win a big game. And again, look, I am not a Franklin guy, and it feels like I'm taking the Franklin side of things. He hasn't won the big game yet. I don't like the word can't. I presently struggle with beating top five teams. Does that mean you can't do it in the future? Like, is Penn State, whoever they hire the next guy or whatever. He's given a 5, 6, 7 year Penn State tenure. Is he ever going to have a 3 year stretch where he wins 11 games, 10 games, 13 games, and finishes 7th in the country, 13th in the country, and 5th in the country? Because that's a pretty darn good resume. That's about as good of a resume as you're going to find in college football outside of maybe 6 or 7. That's probably too many. That's probably a top 7 resume in the last 3 years, not including this year because they're 0-3 in the Big Ten. But the last 3 seasons prior to this, James Franklin had a top 7 resume in all of college football. And he has 3 bad games, and see you later. We're going to move on to Matt Rhule, who has had a little success in Nebraska, but nothing like that.
And he has all the failures that I just went through with James Franklin. He has all of that and more as a head coach. He sucks versus top 25 teams. He did at Temple. He does now. Like, they are literally going to hire another James Franklin who played at Penn State. That's what they're going to try to do. It's a disaster. The reason why I think it can be, if you get the hire right, I do think Notre Dame is a great example of this, is what is different between Notre Dame and now and before? It's just Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman. Like, Marcus Freeman immediately got Notre Dame. Yes, he's got some bad losses, but he got them to a national championship game. And when he lost, it was respectable. He's getting quarterbacks. He's getting athletes. Where Brian Kelly still can't build the trenches at LSU and always bets on the wrong guys at QB. Like, if Brian Kelly was fired, would I have been upset? No. Like, that's why I wasn't upset when he left. So if Penn State hires the right guy, their Marcus Freeman, he can elevate them to the places where, you know, Franklin couldn't. But you got to hire the right guy. And like, I think Matt Rhule.
Who would you hire for the
Cignetti? It's not even close.
Yeah, that would be my first call. Yeah, that's my first call too. Apparently he's a Pennsylvania guy.
Yeah.
But like, would you leave Indiana for Penn State?
Absolutely. And the Indiana
story.
What do
you mean absolutely?
It's not even, I mean, the Indiana story is great, but like, no one thinks that winning at Indiana is sustainable.
Why? This is a different era in college sports.
I know it
is. If they're going to spend more money than Penn State and NIL, not saying that's happening, but if they're going to spend more money than Penn State and NIL and they're going to give him a bigger salary than Penn State would, why would he leave?
The history doesn't matter as much, right? It doesn't matter. He's from Pittsburgh. So, I don't know. I guess that translates to being a Penn State fan. I don't know if it does or not.
It's Pennsylvania at least.
Yeah. He was a GA and a coach at Pitt in the 90s, in the 80s, but I mean, Cignetti to me is option one. Like, it's the only really option if you're going to do it is going for someone like that. And my guess is they are going to go after Matt Rhule. I think that's a mistake. If it wasn't Cignetti, I'd probably look at a guy like Brian Hartline and the success he's had at Ohio State. And I know it's just a coordinator. Like, that's probably the path I would go down. Like, they've put themselves in a tough spot. They, as they said, they raised the bar. Now you have to get a coach that can elevate you to a place where you haven't been in my lifetime, essentially. And Cignetti, to me, feels like the only one that I would bet on taking them there. I don't know where else you go you're Penn State.
I mean, I don't – it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I don't mind Rhule. I think Rhule's done a great job in college football. Matt Rhule did a great job at Temple, a place that's really never had success. Did really good at Temple. Went to Baylor and turned around that program very, very quickly. Now, Penn State doesn't really need a turnaround. They need like a makeover. And then I think he's doing a good job in Nebraska. I don't think Nebraska is as easy a place to win as we, you know, used to think.
Yeah,
like back in the early days. Like, it's not a tough place. It's not an easy place to win. So I do think that Matt Rhule is a good candidate. I'm just not sure that Matt Rhule really elevates that position much more, if at all, than James Franklin. I feel like if they don't get Cignetti, I feel like they kind of botched this.
Yeah,
like, I really do.
I'm with you. Like, Matt Rhule he's 2-23 versus top 25 teams as a coach. He has no bowl wins. He's 0-11 versus top 10 teams. And I know he's been at lower level programs, right? Now, Baylor was good when he was there, but they didn't win the big one and really get close when he was there either. So it's Cignetti or bust. I don't really know what other direction they go if it's not Cignetti.
It's that.
And
I mean, Rhule would be the option B. I mean, he's like best friends with their AD too.
I mean, I think he's their option A, honestly. I think it's just a mistake.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I think it was the right decision to fire Franklin because at some point, like, if you can't win the big one, you got to move on. But if your pivot is the
How is it the right decision to fire Franklin if you're not going to get a guy who's better?
Well, see, I'm basing it on the idea that they're going to get someone better. But if they go with Rule, then it was the wrong decision. So I think in theory it was the right decision. But if they butcher this, then it's going to be worse. Like, we'll see. I'm fascinated what Penn State does because I don't even know, like, the fan base doesn't totally matter, but we have seen fan bases get coaches fired before they got hired, basically, with Tennessee. But, like, what are you going to do? You are going to hire an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator? Like, what's the plan here? It's they're in an interesting spot. I'm fascinated with what they're going to do.
Yeah, I was pretty stunned. I know that you weren't because you had it in the rundown last week. Is Franklin on the hot seat? I thought you were being ridiculous. Yeah. And then it happens. Like, oh, okay. What do I know? I don't know. Ball.
Well, you lose the 713. You lose the Northwestern. You kind of open those doors, man. Like,
that's a quality program. They're on the rise.
I guess
they're in Northwestern. Hey, why don't you pull for Northwestern? By the way, you're a Chicago guy. Shouldn't you be a Northwestern fan, not a Notre Dame fan?
They're not. They suck.
They should be Penn State.
I mean, and I do like Northwestern because I worked for Northwestern for like 2 years. But like, I can't be a fan of Northwestern. Like, I just can't.
Why?
They're not a good program.
So you're a Fairweather fan, is what you're telling
no,
us.
No, I picked a good team.
You don't ride or die with those that are close to you geographically.
Yeah, no one roots for Northwestern. Like, if I'm going to root for a school that I have no chance of going to, I'm going to pick the good one.
I had a buddy who went to Northwestern on a football scholarship. He never played, though, because he had like 84 surgeries. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. We'll get to some NFL stuff. We'll try to get to the Texans. We'll see. What is the biggest fall from grace in sports history inspired by one James Franklin? We'll go over to the college football openings. What's the best job out there? Will Penn State be the biggest job that gets opened up? But let's talk about all these games from college football over the weekend. There were some big ones. Go Cougs. It's 317 in Oklahoma still.
Sucks.
There we go. All right, 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham. I'm Jeremy J. Branham. Joe's at Joe George Radio as a station. We're at ESPN 975. Twitter as well at ESPN 975. Joe at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975 and ESPN 92.
Next weekend, we are headed to ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. They got a brand new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings, a new chef, which means all new menu items as well. And it's all now open to all ages inside the sports book, just for eating, of course. You can watch all the UFC fights there. It's a great environment for that. Your season-long NFL parlays or just bets you want to get in right now, you can. You can do up to 20-leg parlays. Get your NBA season bets in now before the season gets kicked off next week if you want to head up there this weekend. Or, you know, when we're up there, if you're going to come hang out with us, it's only a couple days into the NBA season. So you can get all your MVP bets, all those things, NBA Finals champion at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Plus, you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card, and they offer you a chance to place wagers on all of your Houston area teams. Check it out, ESPN Bet in LaBerge in Lake Charles. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN. Ocho, my winner of the week is Mr. Jimmy Sexton, agent of James Franklin, who negotiated his $49 million buyout. Second biggest buyout ever in college football history. It's still nowhere in the ballpark of Jimbo 76. It's insane how much Jimbo got.
I think Sexton represents like 8 of the 10 highest paid coaches in college football right now.
Sheesh.
He is controlling. Like, you want to know, like, why are all these buyouts? Well, because one guy's negotiating all these contracts. Like, he's doing all of it. It's just stealing money at this point. It's the best job in the world.
Somebody's willing to pay you, you know.
You think
it's crazy to me, though, that it's a $27 million difference.
Yeah, I know. But that's my look, A&M, they literally put a trophy out with when they were going to win a national championship when they hired Jimbo. So
that's right.
They had the years
blank. Incredible. Yeah. Somebody actually texted that they should hire Jimbo. He put LOL, though. I think he was joking. I think Jimbo's overrated, quite frankly.
I agree.
He didn't do a great job. I mean, I know he, like, you know, Florida State, Jameis, all that. But look at the fall off after Jameis left. Like, he put Florida State in a bad spot. And, yeah, he won a New York Six game, but it was a COVID year when he beat North Carolina. I always thought that Jimbo was a little bit overrated. They should consider Dan Mullins at Penn State. Franklin should replace Belichick or go to UCLA. See, I do think that Franklin will be in demand. If I'm Franklin, I'm not sure I want to work, though. You know, like, I'm going to get paid the same amount of money for working that I would for not working, because any money that he makes at his new job is just going to reduce the buyout for what he's getting from Penn State.
And, like, I mean, high level of a job can he get? And, I mean, it's like, what do you want if you're James Franklin? You want Auburn? You want Oklahoma? Like what are you looking for? I don't think I want UCLA or Virginia Tech. Like, I want probably an SEC job. I don't even want Arkansas. So, like, I'm not coaching if it's not a good job. I'm waiting. Because once he goes away, he'll be in demand. So, like, I would wait a year.
Franklin was a good coach, says a junkie, during games that really didn't matter. But when it came to the big one, he could not win it. And he's never been accused of being a great recruiter at Penn State. See, I don't look at Penn State as a team who lacks talent, though.
No, I think like most of college football, they've lacked the highly successful quarterback in his tenure. But that's a problem kind of for everyone.
Aller was supposed to be that.
Huh?
Aller was supposed to be that.
Yeah, he stinks. No, he's out for the year. Yeah. I mean, because probably their best quarterback's probably playing for Missouri right now, even though he threw a really bad pick this weekend in Bo Perbula. But, if I'm Franklin, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for, I mean, maybe Florida calls. Because, like, there's a lot of programs, like, if you told Florida today that they could hire James Franklin and he would bring the same success they had, they would say yes immediately. Their whole fan base would. And eventually they'll get tired if you can't win the big one. But if you could win as often as he did in a lot of these programs, they would want Franklin. But at the same time, I get why Penn State was done with him.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'm any of the top programs that you mentioned where I'd be thrilled with Franklin. Like, if I'm Oklahoma, Franklin would not feel like tremendous buzz for me. Same thing with Florida. Like, that wouldn't feel like a tremendous hire. Like, I think it needs to be – I think the perfect fit is kind of that second-level job. I think Virginia Tech would be perfect. I think UCLA would be a pretty good spot for him. But I agree with you that that might not have enough allure for him to chase that down.
Yeah, and UCLA, I mean, that's a program – like, it's, I think this is where the NIL stuff comes in. Like, UCLA and Tech – Virginia Tech, they don't really have big NIL stuff from what I understand. So
yeah.
If you're not going to spend a lot of money, then why am I going to take my next job there? Because you never know. I mean, it could be his next job might be his last one. Like, if he flames out, who knows where he's coaching next? Like, is he going to be, you know, one of these guys that's coaching at Florida Atlantic like Tom Herman was I think that was the right school he was at. Like, exactly. He's not coaching there. So I think you wait for the right job, whatever that is in your mind, and there's no rush to get back into it because of this giant payout you just got.
Now, he could go back to Vandy whenever their coach leaves, goes to a bigger job. Hey, let's just bring back Franklin.
That would make sense.
Okay. Was Jimbo the coach at Florida State when the Cougs slapped them around the Peach Bowl? Good memories. It certainly was. Go Cougs. Cougars won that game. Florida State's a big time. But nothing for the Houston Cougars. The Cougars slapped around Oklahoma State. And Stillwater, too. Go Cougs. 450 total yards. Connor Wigman throwing for over 300 yards. Blowout victory. Let's go. A win away from bowl eligibility. Get out there Saturday to homecoming. TDECU Stadium. 11 o'clock kick.
Anything else you want to plug about the Cougs before we move
on?
They look good this weekend.
They did. They've looked good every weekend. They've looked good. Texas Tech beat them. Texas Tech's a really good football team. The top 10 team in the country. You tip your cap to Texas Tech. The tortilla-throwing fans. Does Arch Manning still stink after Texas gets a big win over Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry?
I think he's looked better the last 2 weeks. You know, he's still far off from what was promised. But I think the answer is no. I'm not like convinced on it, as you can tell.
No. I think it's somewhere in the middle, truth is. Like, he's obviously not one of the top college prospects in all of college football. He's nowhere near that. Now, his demise was probably exaggerated. Now, the way that they use him could be better. You know, use him more as a game manager, your mobility a little bit more, and then rely on their defense, you know? Like, that team can still win a lot of games. Like, they're super talented. You know, Arch isn't going to go out and, like, win a game on his, like, on his own, but be a good, solid game manager. That defense is legit. I give credit for Mateer for playing. Like, that's gutsy, man. Like, 17 days removed from a surgery to your broken thumb. Like, that's legit. That's some legit gamerness there. But he looked nowhere like the Mateer that we've come to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm surprised people are jumping off Oklahoma. I mean, their schedule's brutal. So, like, I mean, who knows how their season's going to end? Because immediately it was like, well, Oklahoma's coach be the next one to get fired? I
don't know.
I mean, they've been so disappointed, it feels like, since Venables got there. So their schedule's tough. I mean, Arch, and, I mean, UT's still very much alive for the playoffs. Like now that I know it's the AP poll, it doesn't mean everything, but it means something because we do know that the committee, like, even though they're not supposed to, they do weigh the AP poll. Mm-hmm. But they play still Georgia and A&M this season, so, and Vanderbilt. So, like, if they were to make a run, Texas would still make the playoffs this year with two losses. So,
you know, it would have been better, I think, if Oklahoma didn't play Mateer, because, like, you can make the case that they would be in a better spot losing this game without Mateer than with Mateer as far as their playoff hopes go.
Yeah, but even then, like, people are going to look at him and say, like, he's hurt. You know, I think they still have to count that into what you point out. Like, it was 17 days removed from surgery.
If in
2 weeks he looks incredible and they, you know, and they're playing really, really well, even if they end up with two losses on the season, there's still going to be an argument. Now, their schedule after South Carolina is Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU. So good luck, Oklahoma, to run that gauntlet. But
yeah.
But that's where, you know, that even with Mateer playing, like, that's why they desperately needed to win this last weekend, because you lost to an unranked Texas team. Like, that's not. That's,
yeah, but
not,
Oklahoma's in a better. I mean, if resumes alone, not future schedule, Oklahoma's still in a better spot than Texas.
I don't think it's that much different, because Michigan is not good, and Auburn's not really good either. Like, they haven't really beaten anyone.
But they have one less loss.
For now.
Well, that's what I'm saying as of right now.
Yeah.
You know, the resumes at this moment. That's why AP poll's biased, though. We'll talk about that later. Did you hear Booger McFarland before the game talking about Mateer as a defensive mind? I think I fell in love with Booger McFarland before the Red River shootout.
No, I missed it.
Take a look.
A broken right hand warming up, Boog.
And that's a thumb and a hand I would be looking to step on as a defensive lineman. Red River rivalry.
That's your guy. That's your kind of guy right there.
I've never liked Booger McFarland ever in my life.
Now you do?
I fell in love with him. All is forgiven, Booger. You're my kind. I want 11 Booger McFarlands on my defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, step on.
I want 11 of them. I pitch a shutout every single game if I had 11 Booger McFarlands, although I might have trouble tackling in space. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, what's up, fellas? I disagree with Joe George when it comes to Franklin. You know, it seems like, if I heard Joe right, he was pretty much saying that Franklin should go after, you know, these big schools. But I'm looking at how some of these coaches are getting played right now, specifically the Indiana coach. The Indiana coach that just beat Oregon. He's at a mid-major. He said, I don't even know if they even call Indiana a mid-major, but these dudes are doing good. These coaches right now are doing good at these non-traditional football houses right now. And I don't think it's the best option to go at these premier type of schools, the UTs or Tennessees or Michigan and all of that. I think that you can go up there and I think he's doing exactly what the dude is doing at U of H right now, Fritz. I think that you can do that with a mid-major team. I don't think that Franklin needs to go to a big school right now, because he'll get exposed again. And that's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, I think it's all about, at this point now in college football, like, it's all about where the money's at, to Lamont's point. You have to go somewhere where they're going to spend and spend a lot. And that's what Kurt Cignetti, I mean, they're spending so much money on their roster. He was able to convince them coming from James Madison that the way to do things was to spend and win, and Indiana bought in. And that's what James Franklin should be looking for. So I think that's a fair point. Like, you don't have to go for Auburn or whatever. You have to, if you're going to take the Virginia Tech job or the UCLA job, they have to spend money. And I feel like that's part of the reason why these schools aren't, like, why the jobs are open, because they're not spending money. Why Oklahoma State's open, because they're not spending money in the way these other schools are. So James Franklin, he has to convince these schools to spend as much as they have to convince them that he's the right guy there. Like, it's, I think he's interviewing these lower level schools. He's interviewing them more than they're interviewing him.
Yeah, I don't think it's the coaches going into those rooms and be like, this is what it's going to take. Like, they might say what it's going to take, but the guys that are doing the hiring already have that plan in place. Like, Indiana already had that plan in place when they hired Cignetti. It's like, okay, this is your salary. This is the NIL. This is our desire. This is our goal. I think that's part of the pitch nowadays. I think it has to be part of the pitch nowadays. This is what you're getting in rev share. This is what you're getting in NIL. This is your yearly budget. Like, I think that's the way it's turned into pro sports, like, for better or worse. And I don't mind it. There's a lot of money in college athletics. I don't mind it going to the players. I don't mind having big payroll universities, mid payroll universities, small payroll universities. What it does is it kills the history of what we thought of as traditional power programs or good programs for years. Like, Indiana's never been a good college football program. Why are they now? They hired a good coach. They're spending a lot of money on their payroll. Why are certain schools that used to be powerhouses or at least good in college football having struggles? Well, you probably don't have a great coach, one. And then secondly, you have a small payroll compared to some of these other universities. So what has been written in college football, with what we've come to know are the good programs, the great programs, the bad programs, that is being completely rewritten based on payroll, based on how much you have to spend. And I'm okay with that. It's just going to take a little while for people to come to grips with it, and then A, and then B, condition their minds around it. Okay, well, Indiana might just be good for the next 20 years because they're just going to spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
UCLA just might not ever be good again because they're not going to spend money. So it just flips everything around. It totally resets it based on what your payroll is going to be.
I think it's a good thing. I think the more parity we have in college football, the better. Like, I like the fact that we're seeing teams who are going to make the playoff this year that are very surprising and different. I mean, if Georgia Tech and Texas Tech can make it this year, it shows, like, what you can do at a program. I think all that stuff is good for college football. And you have your traditional powers that are still at the top. And you're right, it might just take some getting used to that Indiana is all of a sudden just good. That BYU is going to be just good because they're just going to spend money like crazy. That maybe Vanderbilt is going to be a good team going forward, and teams like Auburn might fall back a little bit. It's very different, and I'm curious how these schools will respond. Like, as they're seeing this money get spent at Texas Tech, for example, like, are they going to have boosters that come in and step up? Like we see with Stanford, the one booster comes in, is dropping $50 million on their plate. That's one guy that can help fix Stanford and try to turn Stanford around. So I think all of this is, honestly, it's good for college football because I think it's just creating more parity within the sport, and I think it's something the sport, honestly, it desperately needed.
Yeah, a little bit more transparency too, because, like, this stuff probably used to happen and they only enforced it certain places or, you know. So, no, I like it too. Like, it's different. It's definitely more of the pro model, but it's still a lot of fun. It's still very cool. A&M got a big victory over Florida. I was ready to call Florida the Texas State champions if they beat A&M, but they did not. Do you think A&M's the best team in the SEC?
No, I don't. I think it's Alabama still. I think Alabama's the best team in the SEC. I don't think it's a big gap by any means, but I'm really impressed with what we're seeing from Alabama on a weekly basis right now with Ty Simpson. So I will go Alabama 1, and then I will go A&M probably 2, and then Ole Miss after that.
Yeah, we'll head Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have much issue with that either. Like, Alabama's quietly being Alabama again. Like, they had that early, like, you know, last year was a little bit shaky. You're still trying to, like, you know, I guess, you know, set your culture and replace a legend. And then Bama lost that earlier game this year. And we were talking about him. We were talking about DeBoer being fired. There was Georgia win there. They win at Missouri, which that game was like a 3-point spread. Like, that was not a layup, obviously. That's not your dad's Missouri. So, like, Alabama's quietly going back to being Alabama, which I think is actually good for the sport.
I think it is too. That game was fascinating this weekend. With the young kid, Jeremiah Smith, was the throw on one. Ryan Williams, he had zero catches in this game for Alabama. Didn't have a single catch in their win over Missouri.
Sheesh.
And I think that I that's what I was just saying. Like, I think Alabama being good is good for the sport, but I think it's also good that Missouri's good. That you have, like, you're not, it's not just so top heavy anymore with three or four programs that are going to run this thing. I mean, again, we just had a coach get fired who was top three in the country 2 weeks ago.
Like, it's insane.
It's, I think college football is in a way better spot now because of this NIL stuff. And I think it still has a lot of room to grow to where it can get even better. But yeah, I think Alabama one and then A&M two for now.
Yeah, I think A&M's in the fight though.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that defense a lot. Marcel Reed's been a lot better. I think Elko's a good coach, good hire, like kind of an under-the-radar hire. They almost hired Stoops, and they decided not to, went with Elko, and that was probably a good decision. But, no, I like what I've seen from A&M. I think they're certainly in the fight. Texas Tech continues to roll. They blew out Kansas in the second half. Mm-hmm. Did you see after this game, though, that Lance Leopold and McGuire kind of had some words?
No, I missed
Leopold
that.
Was mad about tortillas. He was mad about the tortillas being thrown, which penalized Texas Tech now because of that new rule.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that. Tradition in college football, you know, they're not really a safety hazard. And then Leopold said that, like, one of the fans threw a pocket knife at their sideline or something.
Yikes.
It was bizarre. Yeah, it was really weird. And they kind of got into it a little bit. Like, Leopold went up and, like, told him what happened. And McGuire's like, what do you want me to do about it? And then Leopold's like, that's, yeah.
Well, what is he supposed to do about it? Find one kid out of how many kids are at the game?
I mean... exactly. I agree with McGuire here. And Leopold, to me, came across a little sour, you know, sour grapes. Like, if you want to gripe about it in your post-game press conference, by all means. But going at McGuire, like, control your student section. What? Like, he's the head coach of the football team. He's not the head coach of the entire university student section
that's
and the entire base.
I think it's crazy they fine these schools for field storming after.
Like, I know.
Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, how are you supposed to stop all these kids? Like, honestly.
You're not
like,
gonna.
Like, what is the game plan here? Like, how are you going to stop, if it ever happened to A&M, like, how would you stop 100,000 people from getting on the field?
You're not. You're not. They just need to figure out a way to do it as safely as possible.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna, and I agree with you. I think the finding's pretty ridiculous. But then McGuire actually went after his. I wouldn't say he went after his own fans, but he's like, look, guys, they're throwing a penalty whenever we throw tortillas. It's costing us 15 yards a pop. We have to stop doing it because there's gonna come a time where that's really gonna cost us. So stop doing it. So Joey McGuire wants Tech fans to stop throwing tortillas. College football is awesome. Like, this is a talking point. Head coach of a top 10 program wants his fans to stop throwing tortillas. It's college football, baby.
The fact that like,
LSU with go ahead.
The fact that we're throwing penalties for tortillas and we're throwing penalties for horns down, that's the only part of college football. Like, we're getting a little soft here, I think.
I agree, man.
Like, why are we?
I agree.
What's wrong with throwing tortillas? Like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to find Michigan because they sing Mr. Brightside really loud? Like when are you going
to... The horns down thing is soft, too.
When are you going to say that, you know, because Wisconsin Stadium is so old, that jump around is a hazard to everyone there in the stadium and it's going to cause a penalty? Like what are we doing?
It could be.
The stadium does shake.
No, I agree. It is very soft. Yeah, it does. There's a lot of those stadiums that shake, though, whenever you get that many people swaying and moving around. LSU, nice victory for them. Are you worried about their offense?
LSU?
They
stink. Their offense is not
They're top 10 in the country. They've only lost one game, and that was at Ole Miss by 5. I wouldn't say they stink.
Their offense stinks. It's not good.
Yeah. Their offense has been pretty mid.
It's my guy. It's Nussmeier.
Do they have a Nussmeier problem?
I think they have a Nussmeier problem. But I don't think their backup's going to be any good either. Brian Kelly probably would have gone to him by now. I think he's hurt. More than he's letting on.
You think he's hurt?
Yeah, I think they've said he's...
I'm getting a little tired of these little hurt excuses, though.
But wasn't he, like, he was on the injury
report. Oh, Arch Manning's struggling. He's hurt. You know what? I'm not having a great day on the air today. I'm hurt. Like, I'm getting a little tired of these injury excuses.
Well, I mean, Arch was because the one, you know, like, defensive angle camera where it looked like he was, like, screaming in pain as he was throwing the football. So everyone assumed he was hurt at that point.
I'm getting tired of the excuses. I don't like it. I don't like it. AJ's going to play the wrong drop. He's gonna be like, oh, I had a cough today. No. You're good enough to show up to work. You're good enough to show up to play. You bring your A game. All right? What did Jordan do in game 6 against the Jazz?
Brought his
actually,
A
game. It wasn't the flu game, was it? The flu game, I don't think. I think it was earlier in the series. But what did Jordan do in the flu game? He balled out. He was fantastic. He was very, very good. Sick, hurt, all that stuff. Not an excuse. Not an excuse. 713-780-3776. And we talked all this college football. We haven't even talked about the biggest win of the weekend. Indiana, baby. They had the biggest win this weekend, right? Do you disagree? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Got a lot of giveaways for you today. Going to give away some Houston Cougar tickets. Homecoming Saturday. 5-1 Houston Cougars looking for bowl eligibility. Give away a pair of tickets a little bit later. Also, a family four-pack of VIP tickets because we love you. VIP. Did you ever watch the that Anna Delvey thing on Netflix, Joe?
Yeah, I did.
That's such a quote machine, that show. Pretty good, but a quote machine. VIP. Love me a little Anna Delvey.
It's a fascinating show.
It's so good.
I didn't know any
Run
of that
it again.
Stuff. I didn't know.
We need to use some of those quotes as drops.
Yeah, I didn't know
any
of that story.
I didn't either. I knew nothing of it. I think my wife saw like a few headlines prior to like the buildup of it, uh-huh. And she would share with me. And then we watched it, and it was like, I mean, that's one of my favorite shows like in the last 5 years. I would
really
say.
That good.
It was fascinating, man. Like not number one, uh-huh. But it's in like my top 10 maybe.
I think
Inventing Anna is what it's called.
I don't know if it's in like a top 5 or 10 show, but
I don't know, man.
It's in the top of like the I was like locked in because I was just didn't know what was going to happen. The story was so good. I don't know, like the show was good too, but the story itself, I was just like captivated by.
It's an unreal story. That's a good way to put it. It also shows you the range of that actress. I forget her name, but obviously she was Ruth Langmore in mm-hmm. Ozark. Like, unbelievable. Like, how do you go from Ruth Langmore in Ozark to Anna Delvey in Inventing Anna? Like, that might be the most range I've seen in an actress in 20 years.
Oh, Julia
Garner.
Julia Garner?
Unbelievable. How do you play Ruth Langmore and Anna Delvey within like the same? I think that they were filming around the same time too. There's a video of her on one of the late night shows. I want to say it's with Fallon, but I'm not sure. And she was reading Anna Delvey quotes and Ruth Langmore's voice and Ruth Langmore quotes and Anna Delvey's voice, and it's priceless. It is so good.
She's also a Silver Surfer in a Marvel movie that just came out. I know you don't understand what that is, but she was in Fantastic Four.
She was in an episode of The Americans.
She's in
a couple of episodes.
I'm looking
actually.
At her Wikipedia. She's in a lot. She was in Waco.
I mean, how do you go from Ruth Langmore to Anna Delvey? Like that blew my mind, man. It really did.
You have any other hot movie takes for me, or TV show takes?
That's not a hot take.
Or things we should know. I mean, you're in Oklahoma. Like, I don't know what else you're doing besides watching TV right now.
What is that supposed to mean?
Is there a lot to do there?
Taking shots at Oklahoma.
Is there a lot to do there?
It's the Sooner State. I mean, what do I do in Houston that I can't do here?
I mean, yeah, what you do? No, you're fine. You're probably just watching. You're just watching game tape. You're just breaking down the film.
Tape.
Breaking down the film.
I don't watch any game tape while I'm here.
Watching Jets Broncos film, all 22.
No, I haven't done that yet. Anyways, college football, 713-780-ESPN. The biggest win of the week, Indiana, Kurt Cignetti. Look, you know they were saying about Indiana, you know what they were saying about Kurt Cignetti? That he can't win a road game, top five road game. Can't do it. Won't do it. Same thing they're saying about Franklin. But he did it. He went into Oregon. I mean, that's the biggest win of the weekend. I did not see that coming. I did not see Indiana going into Eugene and walking away with a victory. I've been saying it for 2 years now, Joe. Indiana is a football school.
For 2 years, you've been saying that now. For two years.
2 years, I've been saying it. I've been laughed at and I've been scoffed at that I've been saying the Hoosiers are a football school. Been laughed at, and finally, they're proving it to me.
I'm with you now. They're a football school now. I didn't believe it last year, But to do it again this year the way that they are, it's by far the best win this weekend. To go to Eugene and to get that W, they looked impressive the entire game. Kurt Cignetti is making his case for like one of the best coaches in college football right now. How did it take him so long to get this big of a job?
I don't know, man. Like, he was under Saban, you know? Like, maybe because he's quirky. Maybe because he's kind of weird. Like, he's got a little bit of Mike Leach in him to me. Not, like, with his scheme or anything like that. And not even, like, their personality. But just that they're a little bit of, like, against the grain. They're a little bit of outside the box. You know what I mean?
But he went from – he was the wide receiver and, I think, running backs coach at Alabama to the head coach at IUP – and then Elon.
IUPUI, I think.
And then James Madison. And now he's at Indiana. Yeah. How did it take him? It took him 14 years to get to Indiana from when he left Alabama. And he's right. Google him. All he does is win.
Yeah, but those are schools that you don't, like, hire from. You don't I mean, how often do you hire from James Madison? You know? You really don't. Here was Cignetti post-game about the victory.
Cignetti's with Jenny.
Coach, you have preached composure, but we've seen your emotions come out on the sideline. Is that intentional?
What do you think?
You tell me.
Yeah, you can't let that go.
Can't let that go? Okay. What is your message to your team now? They are up by three.
Jumping off sides. We got to do a better job of stopping the run. We got to quit laying on the ground on defense and coming back the next play. All right? And we got to play better.
Thank you for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
That was the halftime from Cignetti. But Cignetti's like, yeah, you know, this is just what we get. And then here's Cignetti also with the Google me.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
Google me.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was asked about, like, what he would tell recruits. That was his response.
Google me.
Google me.
53-17 man. At IUP.
I love the guy. I love the guy. What'd you think of timeout gate with Georgia beating Auburn, Kirby Smart taking the timeout, and then said he was clapping? Think of all that.
I think Kirby probably deserves a fine for that one, for lying.
A fine?
Yeah.
What?
He's
lying. We're
going
to fine coaches for lying?
Yes. Yes. lying.
They would be bankrupt.
I mean, this it's pretty egregious, man. Like,
coaches have lied for centuries.
Like this?
This isn't the first ever coach lie.
I don't know if I've seen this before.
Woody Hayes was punching players that were running down the sideline.
That's
fine coaches for lying?
This is pretty bad, Jeremy. You can't lie about timeouts.
Absolutely you can.
No.
Absolutely you can lie about it. This isn't on Kirby Smart.
It's on the refs.
You might say that ethics are in play. You might say morals are in play. You might say that you can't trust Kirby Smart as far as you can throw him. But to get fined for fooling the officials?
I don't know how you let him get away with this. Like, I think you have to send some kind of message. We're fining people
you
for
fine the refs.
We're fining people for tortillas. We can't fine him for this?
Do you think this is the first time that a head coach has lied to an official?
It's the first time it's been this public, I think.
I mean, I think it was a pretty shrewd move. Like, is it dishonest? Absolutely.
I don't
Are we ever going to look at him the same? Absolutely not.
I don't disagree.
But he got his timeout back, and he got the play clock reset.
I know
that was
did.
A shrewd move.
He did his job. He did his job very well in the moment.
Can't fine him?
I don't know how the SEC can just be like, yeah, no big deal.
They should fine the refs for giving him his timeout back. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, but the refs suck. We all know the refs are awful in college football.
I don't know how they gave him the timeout back.
I was clapping.
Okay, coach, I'm going to take your word for it. What? What do you mean? The play clock was down at one.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here, referees? That was a referee problem for me. That wasn't a Kirby Smart problem. Like, was he lying? Absolutely he's lying. Was he dishonest in his press conference saying that he was telling the ref that the defensive players were clapping? Yeah, he was lying about all of that. But coaches lie all the time. You shouldn't find a coach for lying. You should find the referees for giving him his stinking timeout back. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like you got to send some kind of message to your
fine
coaches
him?
And say that's not okay.
Texter, fine Kirby. Talk about soft. LOL. Joe with another bad take nomination, in my opinion. Wheatstraw.
I'm just saying, like,
Kirby Smart for lying.
We find these guys, we find these teams for their fans rushing the field or throwing penalties for tortillas, but this coach can lie about a timeout and get away with it? That's crazy.
The foundation of college football was built on lies, Joe. The coach has been lying for years.
I think it's egregious for when that happened.
I think it was a referee problem. I mean, I don't know how he got away with that. I totally understand Hugh Freeze being upset with the officials. That goal line stand where looking at the ball was over the goal line, that was rough.
Yeah, I mean, to the official point, are you surprised? Like, these college officials are usually pretty awful.
I am surprised. Actually, I am surprised. Like, I don't think that they're like – I mean, obviously NFL officials are better. But I am surprised that they gave him his timeout back. I've never seen anything like that. Like, I really haven't. Like, he's very clearly taken a timeout. They should have been reviewable, too. Like, let's go see what his hand gesture looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's take a look. Like, yeah, if you have a review, take a look at everything.
Yeah, I know. But that's not how they do a review. That's why review sucks. It's not good.
Yeah, they need to change the rule.
Because you can review certain things, but not everything. Like, that's one of my biggest things with review is if we can review something, everything should be on the table, including something like this situation.
Yeah. I hear you. All right, 713-780-3776. Week 6 of the NFL season is over. It is done. Well, there's actually two games today, a little Monday night doubleheader. But week 6 of the NFL season is mostly over. Do you feel better or worse about the Texans after watching the games this weekend? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.